Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamai's Daf Samachay. We are holding four lines from the top of the Amid. We're picking up on this topic of the childless couple. They waited children for 10 years, no children. The halacha is they need to separate. Of course, this only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because as we learned yesterday, based on a pasuk by Avraham Avinu, if they resided outside Eretz Yisrael, perhaps the chutzal Eretz factor contributed to their lack of success. So after 10 years in Eretz Yisrael, they must separate. He has to pay roksuba. Why? Because as we learned, the mitzvah of peru revu applies primarily to the husband. No children, we assume it's his punishment. It's an einish to him, and therefore he has to pay the ksuva obligations. However, if this should repeat itself more than once, she was married to Reuven, 10 years, no children, married to Shimon, 10 years, no children, in that case, she cannot marry Levi, who still needs his own children, because she has established a pattern, a track record, a chazaka, that indicates her. She is at fault. She is medically deficient and the primary contributor to the lack of success with respect to bearing children. You know, even though the first time around we blame him, but once it happens again and again, we say, look, there are two ways to explain this phenomenon. Either it's the first husband's fault, then it's the second husband's fault, or, you know, better to give one teretz, one solution, one answer to all the problems. So here it's one answer that addresses everything. Why are there no children with all these husbands? Because she is the one who can't bear children. So once she establishes that track record, we attribute it to her, she's at fault, and she should not marry anymore. At least she shouldn't marry a fellow who's expecting children. Once she has that chazaka on her record. Now, the first and second husbands have to pay their ksuba. But not the third fellow. Because she's established a chazaka, and therefore he's patur. Tanur Rabbanan. Nisus Lirishan. She married Reuven. V'lo yehayu labanim. 10 years later, no children. They have to separate. He has to pay the ksuba fees. L'sheni. She goes on to Shimon. V'lo yehayu labanim. 10 years later, no children. They have to separate. He has to pay the ksuba. Now, Tosfos explains, because when it comes to monetary obligations, you can only prove things. In this case, you can only be exempt from ksuba if it's been proven three times. That's the discussion in Tosfos, that when it comes to isser, when it comes to all kinds of sakana or isser concerns, that even twice is enough to raise that flag, to raise that concern. Keep away from this isha if you need to have children. Once is just a chance happening, a mikra, but twice already establishes some form of track record. It's more than just a happening. It's more than just a random incident. It's somewhat substantiated. So keep away. Don't take a chance. But when it comes to monetary claims, such as ksuba obligations, he can't. He can't just walk away unless he proves it without a shadow of a doubt. And that only happens after three times. That's Tosfos Chiddush in the Gemara. And therefore, husband number one and number two must pay their ksuba. But then, if she should go on and marry a third fellow, who she's not supposed to, l'shlishi l'tinase, she shouldn't marry a third fellow, because now there's enough basis for this concern that she's medically deficient. Don't marry a fellow who's looking to have children. Ela l'mishi yesh libanim, unless he already has his children. He already has his mitzvah of peru revu, then it's okay. Let's say she did. She went to a third fellow who had no children, and she married him. And Tosfos explains, was speaking, that he wasn't aware of her condition. He can say, Mekach Tos, this is not what I had in mind. He wants to nullify the arrangement. He wants to be potter from the ksuba. Indeed, says the Braisa, that's what happens. Tosfos, she leaves him below ksuba without any ksuba, because he can say, look, this is not what I want. This is not what I expected. Here comes two interesting questions. Here comes question number one. Okay, let's say After marrying Reuven without children, Shimon without children, she went to Levi. And they had no children. It's 10 years later, no children. Now remember, Reuven and Shimon paid up their ksuba. Because at that early point, we had not yet proven that she was at fault. We attributed it to him. Right? The Gemara says, well, he's the one that has the mitzvah, and he's the one getting the einish. It's his fault. It's his fault. But now that it happened three times, a full-fledged chazaka has been established. No less than three marriages that didn't produce children. Nisus l'shlishi, she married a third fellow, and she bore no children. Can the former husbands, Reuven and Shimon, come to her and say, look, pay back the money. It's been proven, it's been revealed to all, that you're the one that's medically deficient and contributing to the lack of success here. Something which was not established up until this point, but now it's been fully established, fully substantiated. Look, it's happened again and again and again. Me matzu amri lo. Can they tell her? Igloi milsa. It's been now revealed to all. The atu the garmus. You're the garm. You're at fault. Return that money that we paid you when we divorced you. Idilmo on. Maybe she can counter by saying matzus amri lo. She can tell them. Look. Perhaps it just set in now. This condition just set in right now. Hashta who did kachshi. Kachshi is a lesson of kach, weakness. The weakness, the illness, the deficiency. Just recently arrived. Sure, I'm at fault, but it's something recent. I was not present. That condition was not present when I was married to you way back. And therefore, you can't get back your ksuba money. Which way is it? Mistab? It's more probable that Matzis Amalu, she can tell them. Indeed, yes. Hashtu de Kachshi, it's a recent condition. Something which was not there when I was married to you. And therefore, she holds on to their money. So on the one hand, a full chazaka has been established. It's been three marriages without children. We attribute the deficiency to her, rather to the various husbands. As we explained earlier, it's more probable that it's one underlying reason for everything that's going on, rather than blaming all these fellows separately. On the other hand, when it comes to holding on to money, she can still claim, look, you haven't proven that it's been my fault all throughout. Perhaps I'm suffering from this condition, but it's a recent thing. It's a recent development. Now, all the Mefarshim, the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and the Stipler, the Chazanish, everyone asks on this Gemara, it's a Tamiya Gedoyla. How could she say it's a recent development? Doesn't this contradict the whole concept of the Gemara? She established a track record, didn't she? It's been three times. Which proves to us that it's her deficiency. It's been revealed that this condition has been there all along. It's a pre-existing condition. It's something that happened now. Otherwise, how could the chazaka prove anything? Chazaka means, look, it's repeated itself. Repeatedly, right? Once and again and again. Apparently, it's something embedded within you. It's a pre-existing condition that's hampering the ability of these couples. So how can she say, hashta, it's something that arrives now. It wasn't there all along. Everybody asks this kasha. So the Chazan Ish, the Stipler, provide the following answer. They say, look, both things have to be reckoned with. There are two factors at play. True. The Iker is the Chazok. When it happens so many times, we blame her. She's the deficient one, and therefore we say she can't, she can't marry again, right? Because she can't expect children. But when it comes to mumming, when it comes to holding on to that money that she already has in her possession, look, she's not claiming, she has it already. It's been paid by Reuven and Shimon. Says the Chazon Ish, this taina, this claim, hashto dekachshi, although it's not really a substantiated claim, it doesn't make that much sense, but it is somewhat of a claim. Prove me wrong. You can't disprove the claim. You don't know exactly when the condition developed. So this claim is enough, is sufficient for her to be able to hold on to the money that she already received. interesting chiddush. She can't use it to claim. She can't use it to extract money, but she could use it to hold on to her money unless proven otherwise. So interesting chiddush in the Gemara. Iboilu, here comes another shaila. Suppose she had married Reuven and Shimon and Levi, no success. Nis is Levi. She married Yehuda, the fourth fellow, v'hoi labanim, suddenly mazal tov. There are children. Mao de titbe lishlishi. Can she go back to Levi and say, look, remember you divorced me without giving me ksuba because I already had that chazaka which established that I'm at fault. Look, here's my baby. Apparently it's your deficiency, not mine. Can she do that or not? The answer is, we tell her, shush, quiet. Amrina lo shtikusech, your silence is yofa midiburech, is more effective and beneficial to you than speaking. Meaning, play it down. If you make a ruckus, you're just going to be working against yourself. Demotzi amrala, because then Levi can say, Levi's the third fellow, ano adata dehochi lo gerashtich. Oh, you remember I divorced you? I wasn't happy about that divorce. I did it because I was compelled to. I figured you couldn't bear children, right? That's what the halacha says. After 3 times, divorce. But now that I've discovered that you're fully able to bear children, come back to me. He's pretty much trying to nullify his get, which is terrible because she's already married to another fellow with children. So we tell her, you know what? Don't make a deal about this. We know you want your money, but you're just going to make it worse for yourself. You can end up with a more serious problem than just money. Mask of the Rav Papa. Rav Papa has a kasha. How can we manipulate things? Is it a true claim or not? Can the husband claim her back or not? And if he can claim her, then we can't just ignore that. If it's a legitimate tana, so the get should be bottled. Mask of the Rav Papa. Ihi shatka. Just because she'll remain silent. Anan mishatkin. And how can we remain silent? Nimtza get bottle, but emam zerim. This is a true valetina. Look, there are children. Apparently she's not at fault. You know what happens? The get issued by man number 3 is null and void. And the children emam zerim. Oh. So as Rashi explains, apparently, says Rav Papa, man number 3, Levi, can never nullify that get. Fact is, you know what? You took that chance. You gave her a get. Did you know exactly what was going on with her? No, you gave her the get, and you sent her off. Taking all possibilities into consideration. Maybe it is her fault, maybe it's not her fault. You sent her away. That's it. It's over. Case closed. So what then? Why shouldn't she come back and claim, look, it turns out that I'm able to bear children. Look, with man number 4, I'm successful. So you, man number 3, pay me up the ksuba. It's been revealed that it's yours. It's your fault, not mine. So why can't she do that? Ella Amrina, the answer is because we tell her. We claim, we counterclaim that hashta, hu de b'riyasa. She was recently healed from her condition. Perhaps she had this condition all along. She had a solid track record to prove that. 3 husbands without children. How did she bear children with husband number 4? Hashem healed her. But it's a recent development that was not there beforehand. So that pulls out the rug from under her claim. She can't come back and reclaim the ksuba money from man number 3. Now let's say there's a difference of opinion as to whose fault this is. Hu amar mi no. Husband claims, I know this is it's her medical deficiency that's bringing about this childless situation. Vi amar mi ne, she claims it's his fault. Amar ba'ami, when it concerns dvarim shebeinoy lebeino, issues between the man and the woman related to their physical interaction, she's the expert. Ne'emenes. Why? V'tamamai. Hi kaimalo. B'yorek echetz. Erkechetz is a term to describe the zera. As the man ejects it, like a chetz, like an arrow, she can discern the proper sensation which she experiences when it's a proper yerkechetz. That's her department. Who loy kimle yerkechetz? He's not necessarily knowledgeable about that factor, and therefore we trust her narration of the facts. Now, Omar Ihu, suppose they have this disagreement. She says, look, he's at fault. And he says, look, no problem. I'll make an experiment. Omar Ihu, he says, Ezel, I'll go in Sivitz. I'll marry another wife. Make an experiment. I'll see what happens. I'll investigate this matter. I'll see if I'm still unable to bear children. So together with you, I'll have another wife in my family. Omar Ami, Af Bezu, Yoitzi, Vitin, Ksuba, even in this case, he can't do that. He has to separate, pay the Ksuba. Why? Shani Yomi, because the halacha is, Kalanoisi Ishal Ishta, if you add another wife to your pre-existing wife, you have no right to do that unless it was pre-arranged and pre-agreed upon. Yoitzi, Vitin, Ksuba, you have to separate, give a Ksuba. Rava Omar, no. Noisi Adam Kama Nashmal Ishta, you can add many wives. Udis, like the Mezaininu, provided he has enough to support them all. What happens if Hu Amar Aplas Begoyesu? We learned in the Mishnah that if she miscarries, she's Mapil, then we start the 10-year count all over again. It resets the count. So it's past 10 years of marriage, no children. He says, Aplas Begoyesu, I have no rush, because I know you miscarried sometime in the middle of that 10 years, which pretty much reset the calculation. We have more time. She says, no, it never happened. I'm barren. I'm an akara. It's time to go. Who's to be believed? Even in this case, she's to be trusted. Because if it's real, if indeed she was mapel, she wouldn't have denied it. She wouldn't have proclaimed herself an akara. That's terrible for her, for her records, for her shidduch information. She would never have considered herself an akara if it were not so. So the fact that she's saying, look, it's been 10 years with nothing, is indicative of the truth. What about Hipila? V'chazer v'Hipila? V'chazer v'Hipila? Suppose she had 3 miscarriages. What happens now? Huchzikul in a falam. It's been established as a chazaka that she is a mapelas. And Rashi says, Rashi on the fourth line, here as well, he has to separate and give the ksuba, because maybe he's not zeichet to have children from her. Once she has a chazaka, 3 times of nephalim. What if there's a disagreement as to the facts? He says, look, it's only been twice. I can still give it another try. She says, well, it's already 3 times. I'm a chazaka that I'm a mapila. And I got to go. Omar Yitzchak ben Elazar, here again, she's believed. Uvda Hava, there was a story of a midrash in the Beis Medrash. The shiloh was brought to the Beis Medrash for Amron. Chachamim concluded that. He, Mehemna, she's to be believed. She's to be believed that it's been 3 miscarriages. Why? For the same reason. Deim Isa de Le'aplo. If it were so that she was not past 3 miscarriages, Nafsha herself benifli as a miscarrier, Loi Machsaka, she would not establish herself as such. She wouldn't give herself that title, which is only to her detriment. And therefore, when she says it, she means it, and we have to believe it. Ho Ish Mitzuva Al Piri Verivya. Only the man is instructed to be Mekayim the mitzvah, Puruvu, Avalo Isha, the Isha not. So what does Isha get married? Hashem in a nes. It's just part and parcel of a woman's nature. She wants to get married, and biologically she has that drive to bring children to the world, despite the fact that it isn't really her mitzvah. It's just part of her nature. Rabbi Yechon Breiko Eimer, he says not so. Al Shneimum Eimer. This concept applies to both equally. Pasuk says, clearly Hashem is speaking to both Adam and Chava. Have children, multiply, tzachiv on both. So what do the Chachamim hold? Menan Amili, why is it only a chiv on a man? Amar Bala, Mishum Ralaza, Rab Shimon, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, O Me'ilu Asa'aras Vikiv Shua. This is the last part of that Pasuk that Rabbi Yechim Brekin mentions. Vayayimar Lamalakim Pru Ravu, U Me'ilu Asa'aras, fill the earth, Vikiv Shua. Overtake it. Spread out. That only pertains to a man. He's busy expanding and spreading out. Ish darke lechabish. It's man's nature to conquer, spread his wings. Vein isha darke lechabish. It's not something which is attributed to an isha, and therefore only the ish has this chiv. Adarabba, just the opposite. Lechiv shuha, plural, tarti mashma. Sounds like we're speaking to both. Omar v'nach maritzok v'chiv shuha ksiv. True. We read it, v'chiv shuha. But pay attention to the spelling. V'chiv shah, it's a lashon yachid, only the man. Rabbi Yisrael Amar Mi'acha. I'll bring you the source that it only pertains to the man. Ani kel shakai, prey revei. This is Hashem speaking to Yaakov Avinu. Prey revei, lashon you, yachid. V'leika Amar, rather than saying pru revu, apparently only the man has the obligation, not the woman. V'amar v'lo, another lesson from the same under Amar. V'amar v'lo, mishun v'lozer. Rabbi Shimon. Kesheim shemitzvah al adam leimar. Dovar anishma. Just like it's a mitzvah upon a person to admonish, to give teichacha. Pasuk says, hecheach teichiach. Something which will be heard and accepted. Go ahead and say it. Just like that's a mitzvah, there's a flip side to it as well. Watch your words. Kach mitzvah al adam sheloi leimar. Dovar she'ena nishma. If you know for a fact, it will not be heeded to. You're going to be ignored and scorned. She's going to make it worse. It's a mitzvah to abstain, to refrain, keep silent. Rabbi Abba Amar Chayva. It's not only recommended, it's not only a mitzvah to abstain when needed. It's a chayv. Shenemar al teichach leitz. Penis ne'echa. Don't admonish a mocker. He's going to turn around and hate you. There's no point. You're making it worse. You're breeding hatred by putting teichacha in the wrong place. Rather, hoichach lechacham v'yaveka. A chacham appreciates a good word of musar. He'll turn around and love you for it. Other mafarshim have a discussion about this gemara because really, there's a kasha. The gemara in Erech Neftah Zayin says that hoichach toichiach teaches us that a person should just go at it once and again, give toichach until it's heard. Even if the person turns around and hits you and curses you. That's the Gemara in Erechim. And here the Gemara says, well, if you know he's not going to listen to you, keep quiet. How do we reconcile the two sugis? The Mefarshim, the Mechaschim, Sefer HaChinuch, a lot of Mefarshim explain that there's a difference between, you know, between a case where, basically, it's categorized into three. You know the person will listen. You know the person certainly will not listen. That's just a waste of time. Then you have, you know, in between. You're not sure how effective it's going to be. So in the first scenario, you know it's going to be listened to. It's a mitzvah, teichacha. Even when it's a suffix, you're not sure how it's going to be accepted. Go ahead and try. That's your chiv. Achiach teichiach. Until a person hits you. Just keep on going. Hoping that you get a result. In the third category, where you know the person is not, just not interested. He wasn't brought up this way. He's antagonistic. Then there's no point. In fact, it's a mitzvah and a chiv to abstain. In fact, you're going to make it worse. You're going to turn from a shaygig to amaze it. The Gemara says, Mutav sheyu shaygigin vayu mezidin. We know for a fact that that fellow will not accept. You're making it worse. Trying to save a soul, and you're actually making it worse for him because until now he was just a shaygig. Negligence, lack of yediya, wasn't aware. Now the proper education. Now you're informing him with clarity. And he's going to do it anyways. On purpose. You're making him into a maze, making it worse for him. Just keep quiet. Another statement from the same Adam. One may twist his words. One may speak untruthfully. If it's for the sake of promoting peace. Peace is paramount, more important than sheker. Shenemar avicha tziva kayin shemer li Yosef. Oh no, son of a goyim. This is the Yishvatim. Who came to visit Yosef at Tzadik and said to him, look, this was after Yaakov Avinu's death, your father, Yaakov Avinu, told us, gave us a message to convey to you, look, be nice to us, forgive us for what we did to you, and we know, of course, this never happened. In fact, Rashi brings that Yaakov Avinu never for a moment thought that, never suspected that the Shvatim were involved. In any case, this was a false presentation for the sake of generating peace. Here, Moshe Feinstein had a diuk in the end of Megillas Esther. It says, Divrei Sholem ve'emes. Sholem and then emes. He says, at times, when there's a conflict between the two things, what comes first? First comes Sholem and then emes, as we see in this Gemara. So it's mutter, you're allowed to do it for the sake of peace. Rabbi Nosson, no, it's more than that. Mitzvah to lie for the sake of peace. Shenamar vayim Shmuel. Hashem told Shmuel to go anoint David HaMelech, and he says, how could I do that? I'm scared of Shaul. Eich, Eilech, Veshama, Shaul, Argoni, Vigoni, look, how could I go and Shaul is going to be threatening me? So what does Hashem tell him? Hashem says, look, take a eglas bucker, take an animal, and go to the Mishkan and pretend you're bringing a carbon. So Hashem himself is instructing him to speak untruthfully to preserve Shalem. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Godel HaShalem. Look how great peace is. Shav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Hashem himself, Shinaboy, we find in the Torah that he switched things around to preserve peace. The Mikaroksiv, initially when Sarah Imenu heard that good news that she was going to bear children, she says, how could this be? Vadoini Zakin, my master, Avraham Avinu, my husband is so old, he's past childbearing age. But how did Hashem, when he related the story to Avram, how did he quote Sarah? He misquoted it. Hashem says to Avram, look, that Sarah used these words, Vaniza Kanti, I'm too old. So instead of referring to Avram Avinu, which perhaps would have been degrading to him, look, my man is too old, Hashem switched it around to preserve peace. So back to the Mishnah. Who has the mitzvah? The man, not the woman. Quote Rabbi Yechman Breker, both. Itmar, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi. There's machlokes between these two Amoraim. Chad Amar one says Halacha Rabbi Yechanan Breika. That's how we follow. Both have a mitzvah. V'Chad Amar the other one says no. Ein Halacha Rabbi Yechanan Breika. We don't follow that shita. It's only the man's obligation. Who said who? This time, we can conclude. We can prove that Rabbi Yechanan. Who the Amar Ein Halacha? It's Rabbi Yechanan who says we don't paskin like Rabbi Yechanan Breika. How do we know? Dios and Rabbi Avoh. Because it so happens that once Rabbi Avoh was sitting, and he quoted Rabbi Yechanan that halach, we follow Rabbi Yechanan Breika, the mitzvah applies to man and woman. And when he said that, when Rabbi Avoh said that, name Rabbi Yechanan, v'adrinu Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami asid lapayu, Rabbi Ami Rasi was sitting there, turned their faces aside and protest. They disagreed with this quote in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Right? They held that it was misquoted. Rabbi Yechanan never said that. But they didn't directly oppose him. They just turned aside as a show of disagreement. V'yikadamri, there's another version of the story that it was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar. He was the one who quoted Rabbi Yechanan, that we follow Rabbi Yechanan Breika, the man and woman equally, Amit Suva. V'adrinu, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asik Lapayu, and the other Talmidim turned aside in protest. Amar Papa, I understand the first version of the story. Bishlam Lamanda Amar Bevo, I understand if it's Revo, who is the speaker. Amar, he's the speaker. So that's why they turned aside without actually protesting directly. Mishum Kavod BeKesa, because Revo was associated with the royalty. He was close to the king over there. And therefore, on account of the covet of the house of the Kesha, they didn't voice their opposition, they just turned aside in a subtle show of disagreement. But if it was the other Manda Amr quoting Rabbi Yechanan, Amr, he's the one who said it, they should have just told him that right. Rabbi Yechanan, you should know, you're misquoting Rabbi Yechanan. Okay, so it seems like the first version is correct. Now, bottom line is, my Havi Allah, what is indeed Rabbi Yechanan's approach? Did Rabbi Yechanan paskin the man as the mitzvah, or did he paskin both? Toshma, here comes a riot. Ask to Rabbi Yechanan, the Amora's opinion. The Amr Rabchel, Racha Brachanin, Amr Rabbi Avoh, Amr Rabbi Asi, Uv Dahava, Kamei de Rabbi Yechanan. The following story was brought to Rabbi Yochanan by Kinishta, the Kisri, in the Beis HaKnesses of Caesarea. And there was a question regarding an Isha with no children, and she wanted out. She wanted out and get her Ksuba money. V'amar, indeed, Rabbi Yochanan took her aside. Yoitzi v'itin Ksuba. Husband was obligated to be Maitzi and give her a Ksuba. That was the story. What does that prove? That she's in the right. If indeed it's true that she doesn't have a mitzvah, then what's in her business? How can she force herself out? How can she claim the ksuba payments? Ksuba maya vinita. Why is Rabbi Yochanan forcing the husband to pay her ksuba when she's the one who wants out? It's not your business. It's not your mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, perhaps you're right. It wasn't on account of the mitzvah, because she's not included in the mitzvah. Rather, her claim was based on something else. I want somebody to be there at my side when I grow old. I want a child to nurture, to help me. Dilma beba machmastana. Perhaps she was coming with another claim. Which claim? Kahi dasoi lekamed Rabbi Abi. As this woman who approached Rabbi Abi, same type of story. No children. Armalei, she tells him, havli ksuba. Could you arrange the ksuba payments? I want out. Amrullah, he says to her, no, zil, leave. There's no, you have no claim. Lay mifkadis, you have no mitzvah. What right do you have to claim out? Amrullah, she tells him, look, it's not mitzvah related. I have a very practical concern. Misibu dila. In this woman's old age, referring to herself, when I grow old, mighty havi Allah, what's going to be with me? Who's going to help me out? Mighty havi Allah, dach itisa. Who's going to help out this woman? Omar, hearing this, Rav Ami says, yeah, you're right, kiho, vadai kaifino, in this type of case, in this situation, certainly, her claim is substantiated, she's in the right, and he has to separate and give her a ksuba. So perhaps, that will be the reason for Rabbi Yochanan's giving her the ksuba as well, not because he paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, break her, she has a mitzvah, no, nothing mitzvah related. Simply, she has a taina. She says, look, I need children to take care of me. We had a similar story. Ahida asoy lekemed Rav Nachman. This woman comes to Rav Nachman with the same type of story. Amar lo, he tells her, mifkadis. Look, you have no mitzvah. It's not your concern. Amar lo, she tells him, true, but lo bayach itisa. Doesn't this woman need chutra liyada, a cane to her hand, umar lekvur, and a hoe for burial? Meaning, I need a child to nurse me when I grow up, when I grow old, take care of my burial. Omar, so Rav Nachman hearing this said, yes, kiha vada kafina. In this case, certainly, she has a full right to walk out to get the ksuba. Yehuda v'chizkia to'aymim hayu. Yehuda and Chizkia were both twins, children of Rabbi Chia. They were actually born 3 months apart. Isn't that amazing? Echad nigmar tzurasa l'tayf tisha. One child was a full-term baby. Finished his development after 9 months. Was born after 9 months. Ve'echad nigmaru tzurasei l'tchilas shiva. His twin brother was born 3 months earlier. He was done the beginning of the 7th month of pregnancy. So they were born 3 months apart. And their mother had a very hard time. Apparently this created complications and was very uncomfortable. Yehudis, that was their mother. Dvisud Rabchia's wife. Havalat Tsar Lidish, who's going through a difficult pregnancy. Apparently this discrepancy in their respective developments brought about complications and Tsar. So what did she do? Shanoi Mana. She switched her clothing. She disguised her outer appearance. Ve'asel Kemed Rabchia. She came to her husband Rabchia with a shayla. So unbeknownst to him, it's his own wife coming to ask him a shayla. Amr, she says to him like this, I have a question for you, Rav. Itasa, tell me, a woman, mifkada apiru v'ribya? Does she have a mitzvah of puravu? Amr, he says, no, of course not. We pass like shittas rabbanon. It's only a mitzvah on a man. Okay, hearing this, she ran off to the local pharmacy. Azla, she went ishtayo sama de krasa. She took the potion, the kais ikrin, which made her sterile. She sterilized herself. No more children. That's it. It's over. Of course, sooner than later, he found out who this woman was. And the fact that, in fact, she sterilized herself and she was no longer able to bear more children. Armor lah, he tells her, Ichu. Ichu's like, halavai, I wish. Yaldas likhad karsachrita. You see, after he had these two children, Yehuda b'chizkia, Amiroim. Big Tamid Chachamim, he says, what a pity. If only Yaldas likhad karsachrita. If you would have born me, if you would have brought about another load, achrita of children, meaning another pregnancy, another pair of boys. Keres echash nebanim, Rashi says. What a pity. Damar Maris, we learned, Yehuda v'chizkia, achi, Yehuda and Chizkia were twin brothers, and they had sisters as well. Pazi, apparently beforehand, they had sisters. Pazi, that was one sister, Batavi, another sister, Achvasa, were their sisters, they were also twin sisters. So clearly we paskin like the Rabbonon, it's a mitzvah upon man, not upon woman. Because of the pasuk, prey revei, or we learn from Kivshua, it's only something pertaining to man. Says the Gemara, v'loy mifkidi, is that so, that women are not obligated? V'amar of achabar of katin, amar of Yitzchak. Mas, it was an incident involving Beisha Achas, a woman, she was half slave, half free. The kafu was rabba. They forced her master to free her. The asa ben chern, to set her free. Why? Because she couldn't marry properly. She was a maidservant. And we see that that we force the rabba, the master, to set her free. Apparently, she has a mitzvah of puravu. No, that's not the reason. Minig hefkenagaba. This was a very unique situation because she couldn't marry properly. She was half and half. She was half shifcha, half baschirin, which, by the way, means that she had two masters to begin with, and one let her go. So now she's half and half. So she's stuck. She's in limbo. She can't marry an eved, which is typically who a shifcha marries, because she's half baschirin, which means she's half Jew, right? Half Israelis. She can't marry regular Shidduch, a regular Israel, because she's half Shivcha, she's stuck in the middle. And therefore, Minig Hefkenagaba, she was available to all, and people interacted with her inappropriately, and therefore, to avoid Chet, Chacham decided better that she set free, let her go, and they forced her masters to let her go, and this way she can go and marry properly. But of course, an Isha is not Mitzuva on period of review. Hadron lo chabal yivimti. Okay, so what did we learn today? So this couple has no children. She goes from Reuven over to Shimon, no children again. She goes to Shlishi, to Levi, no children. This third time around, she will not get her Ksuba money, because it's been proven three times over that she is the one who can't bear the children. But, as we learned, she cannot go back. The first two husbands cannot come back and claim back their ksuba money. Look, it's been proven that you're at fault, because we can say, hashta hudukachshi, perhaps this weakness, this deficiency, this condition is a recent development. In the next discussion we had, a shaila where she's past number three, and she went to number four, and suddenly she has children. And the question is, why can't she go back to husband number three and get her ksuba money, which he didn't pay her? Answer is, because we can say that perhaps at that point she was at fault. Hashto de Briyasa, perhaps Hashem healed her right now. It's a recent development, in which case she has no claim on her former husband. We learned that in all these cases the Isha is believed, as opposed to the man. It's a question of Yerik Echetz, as far as their interaction. She is competent to present regarding that. If she says, look, I never miscarried, it's been 10 years without any trace of children, time to go, she's to be believed. Likewise, if she says, it's been 3 miscarriages, I'm a muhsuk and I have to leave, she's to be believed as well, because actually she's testifying to her detriment. Why would she lie? Mitzvahs peru urvu. Who does it pertain to? According to Tanakama, that's how we paskin. It's a mitzvah upon the ish. Learned from the pasuk of Milos Arz v'chiv shua ish darko lechavish. It's the man's role to go and conquer and spread his wings and expand. Or from the pasuk v'anikel shakei pirei revei, related to Yaakov Avinu, it's singular, it's personal to the man. However, we learned that if the Isha will say, look, I need to have some offspring who will tend to me in my old age, in that case, we take on that claim seriously and she can opt out with a ksuba. Whereas according to Rabbi Yechon Breker, it's a chiv, a comment on both, because of the pasuk, Vayomer Lehem Aleikim, Peru Revu. Now Tosis asks, what do the Chachamim do with this pasuk, which sounds like both Adam and Chava are included in the mitzvah? He says, that's only a bracha. I'll just read the words of Tosis. Hahu bracha ba'alma? But like the mitzvah, it's not considered a mitzvah, and therefore we're not concerned with that lashon in the pasuk. We had the story with the Rav Chiya's wife, who had a hard time, and she went and drunk that Sama de Karta, which he regretted. And we concluded the story, the Chatzi Shivcha. And Chatzi Ben Chayrin, Chacham saw fit in this case, in order to preserve integrity of the society, we have to go ahead and force her out. And indeed, that's what happened. V'kavos Rabbah, v'asa ben chayrin. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.